Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
If you haven't noticed, America's in turmoil. Sure, there's some very good things happening politically, including religious liberty, sanity in the climate arena, recognition that there are only two genders officially after all, and a safer border. And we see a revival in the church with young people embracing Christianity. But we also see the rise of Islam. Across our nation, wars and rumors of wars, and a great deal of anger and vitriol. There is so much hatred and divisiveness bubbling up. I'm here to tell you that this is not all natural. In many cases, it is contrived. Unfortunately, metaphorically speaking, the gasoline has been spread and a match has been lit. We will not be prepared to fight this or even pray against it unless we understand who is behind it, where it started, and the challenges we're rapidly facing. To help unpack this mess, I'm joined by the great Mike Carter, my friend of more than three decades, business partner, comrade in arms for more than 10 years. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, great to be here, Kevin. You know, I've just been looking through some of the notes, and the content that you have here today is spiritual leadership, thought leadership. I'm excited that we'll be able to share this with our audience today.
Well, today I want to share about an overview of the book I'm working on, which is also a series that we're running on our sister show, The Economic War Room, on Blaze TV. The title of the book and the series is The Four Horsemen of the American Apocalypse and Our Six Trials by Fire. What do you think? It sounds more like a Harry Potter novel, or maybe Jonathan Cahn and the Revelation.
It sounds a little scary to me, but it's not unlike how a lot of people feel. Like, what's going on with the economy? What's going on geopolitically? I mean, there are forces out there that we've not typically been dealing with or aware of before, and I think this lays out what's really the framework of what we're battling.
Yeah, well, it's all too real. Hate to say it. And the four horsemen, that sounds like it's from the Bible, right? The book of Revelation. And there are four horsemen in the Bible. It's a part of the end time story. And I want to be careful to say this is about America's judgment facing, not the judgment for the whole earth. I mean, Jesus may tarry 1,000 years or 10,000 years, or he could come back tomorrow. We have no idea.
Yeah, so this is not biblical prophecy, but it is, you can see a framework on how it fits into what's in the Bible.
Exactly. And there are seasons and times that we see that look like the end times. There are birth pangs, there are tremors. We see all of that. And I'm borrowing from the analogy from the Revelation 6. The Bible talks about four horses. And in verse 2, and I looked and I saw a white horse. The white horse was conquering and a conqueror. And then in verse 4, another horse, fiery red, went out, took peace from the earth with people killing one another. So there's a white and a red horse, and then a black horse with a pair of scales in his hand, and says, a quart of wheat for a denarius. A denarius was a day's wages. That's inflation and food prices. We're dealing with that today. And verse 8, and behold, a pale horse, and the pale horse was death and Hades. Demons roaming free on the earth, martyrdom, cosmic disturbances, earthquakes, collapse of society. You know, those things are in the Bible. I'm not trying to draw that analogy here, but I am saying that there are four horses that we're facing as a nation.
Yeah, but I think bringing visibility to it, it's good for all of us to look at that and be prepared for what might be coming. And starting with Revelation is always wise. And now to look at, okay, let's look at what this means to some of the geopolitical and economic things that we deal with every day and how that might feed into some of that.
Yeah, and the four horses, we have different colors. And the red, I guess, is the same, but we have red, green, blue, and yellow. Some people say, you know, I love the red, white, and blue. Yeah, maybe so, but not the red, green, and blue, and certainly not adding yellow to it. Let's walk through those horses, the ones that we're facing, and just take a little highlight from the colors. You know what I mean by the red horse. Oh, what do you picture?
That's definitely the communists, and you've been warning about this since, gosh, early 2000s about the communist threat and their unrestricted warfare and what they're doing to try and take over America, to actually take over the world. Now a lot of that's coming to fruition. People didn't want to listen to it before, but now we see if they would have listened then, what we could have done to not get into the situation we are in today.
I wish that we had taken some other choices, made some other choices going back. But the red is definitely primarily Chinese communists, but it's communists. The green is Islamists that want to promote Sharia law and enforce it. The blue is globalists. The yellow is our own traitorous greed, apathy, and cowardice. But in terms of the red, let's understand where it started. Communism began with Chairman Mao and his little red book. So the red horse carries a little red book, right?
Yep.
And that would start in, I think it was 1949, with the creation of the People's Republic of China. And it's not people's driven. It's Communist Party driven. It's not a republic. But it is China. The Chinese people are really wonderful people. I visited China. I love the people. But the system, the CCP, is like a fiery red dragon from hell, or in this case, a red horse. And it was a very brutal communism. And under Mao, they killed a lot of people to take the country. And then they had the Great Leap Forward, which caused a famine. They said, let's be really communist. And they told all the farmers to be really communist. And tens of millions of people died in a great famine.
Evil. Then evil. It still exists today. That same evil is still there. It's not quite as blatant, but it's an oppressive regime that's not doing good for the people.
Well, they tried communism, and it failed. So then they had a cultural revolution, which was, we're going to punish anything that's not truly aligned with us, which was brutality and repression that lasted from 1966 to almost 1976. But something really changed. Near the end of his life, Chairman Mao encountered our own President Richard Nixon.
And everything was peaceful from there?
Yeah, well, things did change from the brutal repression, but it began a new era that was known as hide and bide. But do you remember that as a kid? Nixon goes to China and all the adults talking about it. I mean, China was the place that you, by the way, you worried about the poor kids in China, because if you didn't eat all your food, somehow they were going to starve.
Yes, I do remember that.
But then Nixon went to China. We were what, 10 or 11 years old?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And I remember China being, you know, what is this new China thing? And, cheap stuff comes from China. That's what I always remembered as a kid
started. I'm going to jump on that. Cheap stuff comes to China. People don't realize this. This was a revelation to me when I was researching this. Nixon went to China. Everybody says, oh, he went to China with Kissinger so that we could blunt the Soviet Union's advance. And so he would have, you know, it's like taking something from their hemisphere geopolitically for military purposes. That's not why he went to China. And this, when I heard this, it blew my mind. Why did he go to China? Well, in August 1971, Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. Why did he do that?
Because so you're following the money here.
It is all about the money here. Nixon took us off the gold standard because Charles de Gaulle showed up. We had from Bretton Woods until 1971, Bretton Woods, that happened in 1944, the dollar was the world's reserve currency, and it was backed by gold. And anytime you wanted to, as a foreign nation, walk in and exchange your dollars for gold, we would give you your gold back. Now, we didn't give it to American citizens. In fact, from 1933 to 1973, it was illegal for an American to own gold as money. Illegal under an executive order, which I think is wholly unconstitutional, but nevertheless, it was the law of the land, and you couldn't own gold. But foreign nations could exchange their dollars for gold. It was 40% backed under the Federal Reserve Act. The purpose for it was Charles de Gaulle from France shows up with a destroyer in the harbor, New York Harbor, and says, I want my gold. And Nixon closed the gold window in August 71.
That sends a message when you send the destroyer in and say, okay, I want my gold.
It does.
That probably is enough to make Nixon think, I got to come up with a different plan here.
And his plan was, no, you cannot have it. And then he instituted wage and price controls, which is really a communist idea. But he says, no prices. By law, prices cannot go up. Well, free markets could care less about wage and price controls. So, all right, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to talk about why Nixon went to China and what that means for the American people. You know, more than 50 years ago, he went to China. We're dealing with this red horse that was unleashed, and I'll explain exactly how and why it was unleashed when he exited the gold standard, leaving us with the mess that we have today. He took a short temporary solution, and it's created a long-term problem. We're going to cover this and more when we come back from the break, and you'll learn the true story about what abandoning the gold standard means.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we're talking a little bit of history to better understand why it is that we're facing the four horsemen of the American apocalypse. And the four horsemen, the first one we're discussing is Red China, and that is the Red Horse. And Mao had the Little Red Book. We're talking about Communist China. Nixon abandoned the gold standard in 1971, and when he did in August 1971, prices started to skyrocket. He then instituted wage and price controls, and he and his Bill Simon and others, his Treasury Secretary and Henry Kissinger, all got together and said, how do we keep prices down? And they did what you said, Mike. You said, I remember as a kid, China meant cheap goods.
Yes. That's it. And the whole time I'm thinking they're these great leaders just working towards world peace.
Yeah, no, he was working towards where do we get cheap goods. So he went to China and made the same deal that he also struck with the Saudis the next year, essentially. We will give you a lot of American investment, and we will help you build out factories, and then your cheap labor will supply us cheap goods. But here's the promise, Beijing. You promised to recycle the dollars back in and buy our treasury bonds. Yep. And that's what China did. They bought our treasury bonds. And then Chairman Deng, he came out with the Architect of Modern China for his contributions for socialism with Chinese characteristics, and he had the phrase, hide your strength, bide your time. China was never ceasing to be belligerent. They never lost their appetite to control the world, but they were the 12th largest economy on planet Earth back then. 12th largest. And, you know, they wrote the book Unrestricted Warfare. I was last in China in 1999, the year that book came out, and I was in Hong Kong, and I went into Shenzhen and looked at their stock exchange. They were pretending to be a capitalist nation. Yeah. We've seen since then they're not.
And we know they played the long game. And so that agreement with Nixon to buy our treasury bonds lasted for, 40 years? And so they probably had their 50-year plan, didn't they, or their 60-year plan?
Yes. You know, they owned 12% of our outstanding federal debt when that agreement ended at its 40-year mark, which was 2013. And immediately they came out and said, we're going to de-Americanize the world. It's time for us to no longer hide and bide. It is time for us to remove the dollar as the world's reserve
currency. That hide and bide, that's not like hide and Biden, is it? No correlation there.
Hide and Biden, no.
It wasn't part of their plan, was it? Biden. Put them in their hide and we'll do this kind of thing. I'm just having a little
blood
fun
money, why the powerful turn a blind eye to while China kills Americans. That's written by Peter Schweitzer here on the table. The 2013 was four things happening. The emergence of China as the world's second largest economy passing Japan. That's when they did it, 2013. The emergence of President Xi, the development of the Belt and Road Initiative, and the declaration that the world must be de-Americanized. That's the end of the 40-year agreement. And from that point on, they have conducted financial warfare. Now, I found something this is the house organ of the Chinese Communist Party, the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party. December 2010, they wrote, economic warfare. Of course, to fight the U.S., we have to come up with key weapons. What is the most powerful weapon China has today? It's our economic power, especially our foreign exchange reserves. The key is to use it well. If we use it well, it is a weapon. If China stops buying, other countries will pay close attention or are likely to follow. Once the printed excess dollars cannot be sold, the depreciation of the dollar will accelerate and the impact on American wealth will be enormous. They wrote that in 2010. That is a part of their plan to steal, kill, and destroy and displace America.
But 2010 was the time when you were walking the Capitol warning about this and everybody said, no. China needs us. They're our friend. They would never
do this. They're our banker, is what they said. And that's how Nixon treated them. We'll give you all this money and we'll buy your cheap goods. And he hollowed out American industry in exchange, built up China. They became the second largest economy in the world. And then they began this process of steal, kill, and destroy. And you know who does that? The thief. Mm-hmm. Jesus said it, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do they steal? Well, CBS News headline, Chinese hackers took trillions in intellectual property from about 30 multinational companies. I saw it firsthand when I was in Shenzhen. They told us they were going to steal the technology of Americans. Here's stealing. Elements of China's military, state, business, and academia have been interwoven. The American economy loses $5 trillion each year, 30% of our U.S. GDP, when you factor in the full value of stolen innovation. And that's from Warning Order, a book that I contributed to. And then here's the kill, the secret speech of General Qi Haoxian. I think I said that right. I don't speak
I'm not going to correct you, but that sounded official to me.
Yeah. It's so in 2003, before, actually it says in 2005, Epoch Times acquired a secret speech given by this defense minister, and it was given before his retirement, and he basically talks about the life and death struggle between China and the United States. Back when they're saying they're our friend, and he said, we can't beat them with conventional weapons. We have to clean up America because China is so polluted. We need to move to the Western Hemisphere and put Chinese there. And they're going to do it through immigration. They're going to do it this. But they said conventional weapons won't do. Neither will highly destructive weapons such as nuclear weapons. Why? Because they didn't want to irradiate America and then they couldn't live here. So what did they come up with? Do you know?
Well, I think they like the EMP idea. That's the cleanest way to eliminate everybody, right?
EMP? No, they had another idea that he mentioned, biological weapons.
Ah, well, this yeah, they like
20
that one
years,
as well.
Yeah, biological weapons are unprecedented in their ruthlessness. If biological weapons succeed in a surprise attack, the Chinese people will be able to keep their losses at a minimum in a fight against the United States. We know for a fact that this escaped from a Chinese lab.
Yeah.
And the pandemic that we dealt with is, he said it, it is indeed brutal to kill 100 or 200 million Americans, but that's the only path to secure a China century. That's really, really scary.
And I've heard that quote before as you've shared it, and it is. And that's the wake-up call. Yet we had you know, leaders of our country working with them on some of these bioweapons, developing them together, bringing Chinese students into our colleges and institutions to help create this.
It's really frightening. And then if you read the book Unrestricted Warfare, the last thing is to destroy America by mustering large amounts of capital, launch a sneak attack against financial markets, bury a computer virus, carry out a network attack, which is, includes the EMP that you're talking mm-hmm. about. And ultimately, you cause the enemy nation to fall into a social panic, street riots, and a political crisis. And we have strong evidence that China was funding the Black Lives Matter riots. There's a push for communism in America being funded by the Chinese. It certainly seems like it's all about the money.
Yeah, and that street riots and attacking culture is not just China, but we're seeing Russia with similar language to that.
It is a communist plot, and it's about the money. You know, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR.
And so, Kevin, it feels like this, we look at what's happened, and it's been over the last 40 years, but it seems like that Red Horse is moving even faster now between activities in Russia, China, that communist movement. They're executing their plan.
Their plan is very obvious. They've laid it out. I put it in the book according to plan, and according to plan lists the 45 goals of Communist Party USA. It was mentioned first in the Naked Communist. It was read in the Congressional Record in the 1960s. This is a long-term plan. They're executing it to a T. That is the Red Horse, and it's galloping. And it came about because Nixon took us off the gold standard. We had bad inflation, and he needed cheap goods and money recycled back to buy our debt. This was that Faustian bargain taken by President Nixon that enabled the Red Horse to be unleashed. China would be the 12th largest economy on planet Earth today, smaller than Italy and France and Spain and other countries, had Nixon not struck that bargain.
And what causes empires to crash?
It is. It's all. It's always about the failure of the money, when the money faileth. And we'll be talking about that. All right, so that's the red horse and his galloping. I need to move to the, you've heard of the red-green axis.
Yes.
We've talked about that before. We now believe it's a red-green-blue-yellow axis, but the red.
Well, you kind of had me concerned with just the red horse. Now we've got more out here that's gonna trying to take us down.
Well, you look at the combination working between communists that just got elected in New York, who also happens to be a Shia 12er Muslim, and you see the rise of Islam. And that is, look, if you have a Muslim neighbor and your Muslim neighbor does not have any plans for implementing Sharia law across your city, you know, we have freedom of religion, but Islam is not a religion for many, many people. And some would say that that correct Islam, you know, from the correct reading of the Quran and everything, it's a geopolitical system intent on conquering and conquering others. It's like the white horse from Revelation. We use it as the green horse here.
But it's clearly an ideology. This is not a religion per se. It's an ideology. It's a political system they're trying to implement.
It is, that forces women to cover up. It forces all kinds of behavior that we don't think is very American. Now, Nixon unleashed this one also. I hate to say it, but when we left the gold standard, we also unleashed the green horse in 1973. Now, I don't believe that President Nixon intended to unleash the launch of a new Islamic caliphate and usher in modern terrorism. I don't believe that. His outreach was purely economic in nature, as far as I can tell. But nonetheless, even if unexpected, there were direct repercussions, because when he went to Saudi Arabia and said, look, we will defend your nation, and you will then price all oil in dollars, it became known as the petrodollar, which, by the way, people will say, oh, that's a myth, that's conspiracy theory and everything. They said that until it came out in documents that it was exactly what they'd done, and that was a 50-year agreement that lasted from 1973 to 2023, and then all of a sudden oil is being priced in things other than dollars, and not every dollar the kingdom makes or the Iran makes, they're not putting those back into treasury bonds. He had a problem. He had two problems. He had one problem: inflation was hitting the American people hard, so we had to get cheaper oil and cheaper goods, right? And so he struck deals to get those. And then the second problem was he wanted to unleash federal spending and have more money to spend, and so he struck a deal that they would invest only in U.S. treasury bonds. That was the de facto currency of the world. That's how we kept our reserve currency status. And in doing so, he had plenty of money in the U.S. Treasury to spend deficit spending. We could borrow from the Saudis and we could borrow from China.
And that seemed to be working all right till we decided, gosh, we don't need to tie anything to anything anymore. We can just keep printing money. At the same time, our adversaries are working on 40 and 50 year plans saying, we can make this change. We can win.
Yeah, well, we are facing four horsemen of the American apocalypse. We've covered two of them, or just started on the second. We will cover the others right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we're talking, I've got Mike Carter here. We're talking about the four horsemen of the American apocalypse that have been released. The first was the red horse, communist China. The second, the green horse. Nixon unleashed both of these when he left the gold standard. When we gave up sound money, you know what Luke 16:11 says, that if you're faithful with your unrighteous mammon, you'll be trusted with true riches. But if you're not faithful, you will not be trusted. America is losing liberty, security, and values because we're not being faithful with our unrighteous mammon. So here's the problem. The green horse is unleashed. We went to Saudi Arabia. We said, we will pay you for your oil. We will defend you with our military, but you have to recycle it back. It's the beginning of the petrodollar. What did the Saudi kingdom do with that money? One of the things, they unleashed Wahhabism across the world. They said they struck a deal with their most Sharia adherent citizens that said, look, don't bother the king and the kingdom. and we'll give you money. You go put mosques elsewhere, and you go take Islam from our Sharia perspective, throughout Europe and into the Americas. And when they unleashed that, they unleashed really the Green Horse.
Yeah. And they typically look at America as the infidel, right? I mean, they're trying to change the ideology of America.
No, you can watch. Just go on Instagram and just flip through it. It won't take long till you come up with someone who says, you know, we are Islam. We are not here to coexist. We're here to conquer and to overtake all other religions. That's the authoritative texts of the Quran will tell you that. All the authoritative documents in Islam will tell you their goal is to establish a caliphate under Sharia law. That is the purpose. It's not what I want in America. I think it's antithetical to the Constitution, but it's a real threat. And the Saudis funded a lot of that. In fact, I've got a report from the European Parliament here. The involvement of Salafism, Wahhabism in the support and supply of arms to rebel groups around the world. Clearly, the risk posed by Salafist Wahhabi terrorism goes far beyond the geographical scope of the Muslim world. The attacks on New York, Washington, D.C., London, and Madrid remind us of this. However, these deadly attacks remain exports of problems whose origin is located in the cradle of jihadist Salafism. Saudi Arabia has been a major source of financing to rebel and terrorist organizations since the 1970s when we left the gold standard.
Wow. Wow. You know, we talk about that denarius. Why did Rome fall? They debased the currency. We debased our currency, and it put us in this situation today.
Where we had strike deal with the Red Horse and the Green Horse. Prior to 9/11, terror attacks were mainly related to U.S. presence in the Middle East. That would be the Beirut bombing in 1983 or the attack on the USS Cole in Yemen in October 12th of 2000. But under bin Laden, a Saudi, he shifted to economic warfare using kinetic means. And here I'm going to quote from his 9/11 speech explaining why he did this on 9/11. Hitting the economic structure is basic for the military power. If their economy is destroyed, they will be busy with their own affairs rather than enslaving the weak peoples. It is very important to concentrate on hitting the U.S. economy through all possible means. That's his intention. Death by 10 million cuts. He spends $100,000 flying planes in the World Trade Center. We spend trillions of dollars fighting wars in the Middle East.
Yeah, but, you know, Osama bin Laden, he's gone now. Our problems are solved, right?
Yeah, well, all right. So here's another guy that's gone. Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, arguably the world's most influential Islamic scholar. This is from a blog post, Is Capitalism Incompatible with Sharia? He's a guy that wrote about, prior to 2008, wrote about destroying the capitalist system. He says, the collapse of capitalism shows that the Islamic economic philosophy is holding up. And Yusuf Talal DeLorenzo, an Islamic finance expert, was even more sweeping in his claims. So he went even further and basically said, we've got to destroy capitalism so it shows Islam is superior.
Wow. And sell dollars and buy gold. Huh, well, interesting.
Yeah, no, that's Ayman Zawahiri called expressly and repetitively on the Islamic public to sell their U.S. dollars and buy gold instead. He predicted a collapse in the infidels' economy starting from American markets. Now, that was in 2008, but guess what? They were bound by their agreement till 2023 to keep the petrodollar going. Right now, the attacks on the dollar that we're seeing are in part because we unleashed the Red Horse and the Green Horse.
Mm. Can we get them back in the fence? Can we get them back in, you know, to where there's
I think they see blood, and I think that they see us at risk. And so they've shifted in strategy to civilization jihad. It goes beyond the Saudis to the Muslim Brotherhood and Qatar and Iran. In fact, the Crown Prince has cracked down in Saudi Arabia on terror groups, and so that's to his credit. But there are many reasons to believe that many of the leaders of Muslim nations are more concerned with power than Islam. So we've got this power balance. Mm-hmm. But the Muslim Brotherhood, we found a document called the Explanatory Memorandum on the General Strategic Goal for the Brotherhood in North America in an August 2004 raid by the FBI in an Annandale, Virginia home of Ismail El-Barassi, a senior Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood leader. and they found it in a hidden sub-basement. They took it to court. They found Holy Land Foundation terrorism trial in Dallas, the largest successful prosecution in U.S. history that included numerous exhibits, and they found this memo. And the memo basically says, we're going to do civilization jihad. It's not just about blowing things up and suicide bombers. It's going to be civilization jihad.
What does that mean?
Well, they explained it. They said the Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so it's eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. That is meaning immigration jihad. Move to this country and infiltrate them from within. Bribe their politicians. Infiltrate the churches. Pretend like you're connected to the churches and we all serve the same...
We're a peaceful religion.
Abrahamic religion. All of those. Do all of those things. So here's the four steps. Infiltration. That's the first step. Second step, consolidation of power. Where you proselytize, establish and recruit jihadi cells, you convert alienated segments of the population to Islam, revisionist efforts to Islamize history, efforts to destroy historic evidence that revealed true Islamism, increased Western anti-Western propaganda, psychological warfare. We saw this happen in Europe a decade ago, and Europe is lost.
Yes.
It's happening here now. They've infiltrated our charities. They've infiltrated our politicians and the political base. They are demanding their rights now. That's stage two. Stage three is open war with leadership and culture. We're entering stage three, intentional efforts to undermine the host government and culture. We're seeing that now. Rejection and defiance of host society, secular laws, or culture. Even murder of moderate Muslim intellectuals who don't support this Sharia law and it has to be imposed. We saw that the imam in Houston go store by store. You're selling pork here. You're allowed to do that for another 90 days, and then I'm coming back, and we're going to take care of that.
Yeah.
You're selling lottery tickets. You're selling booze. We don't allow any of those under Sharia law, and therefore we're going to come back in so many days. You've been warned, and we're coming back. That's in Houston.
Yeah, and we're seeing the whole cities pop up now. That are going to be, looks to me, going to be based upon the same radical Islam element. So they're going to have their own schools and communities and all that stuff. Luckily, we're seeing our governor in Texas here take a stronger stand on this. It's no longer just recognized as a peaceful organization, but some of those are real threats.
Yeah, no, Governor Abbott designated the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE as foreign terrorist organization. And President Trump signals that he's going to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Now, by the way, that's racist. Not necessarily. Do you realize Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt, I visited Egypt, they consider the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. So I don't think it's all that racist, but it's a green horse, and it's riding in America. And you see it, two things, red horse, green horse, Zohran Mamdani, the mayor-elect of New York, is both a communist, he'll say democratic socialist, but that leads to communism. That's what Lenin said. That's what Marx would say. He's a communist. He's an Islamist. He's a 12-er Shia Muslim that is tied to Iran, and he is also a globalist. So the green horse is riding. We have to pay attention, and don't be hateful to any Muslim. Share the love of Jesus with them, but we have a right to defend Western civilization and Christian values. It is a civilization jihad, and we must stand ready against the green horse and the trials by fire unleashed by it. The next threat, though, you know what it is? The blue horse.
No, but even before we get to the blue horse, I'm looking at a slide our producer just put up there. Look at the number of mosques around DFW right now.
Oh, my gosh. And if you go to Costco on a Saturday, you'll see a lot of, I hope they're religious people and not civilization jihadists, but I don't know how to tell the difference. And if they're following the authoritative books of Islam, the whole purpose is to Islamify the entire world under a single caliphate under Sharia law.
And it certainly looks like they're surrounding the Metroplex, and a percentage of those are probably under that Sharia law. Maybe not all of them, but a percentage.
But you know who's supporting that is the globalists who are saying, hey, let's make certain that you allow open borders so that you can have everybody coming in and mass migration. And all right, so the globalists.
The force multiplier, this blue horse.
The blue horse, and they too, we'll explain it. We're going to have to take a break in a second, but they too were unleashed with the removal of the gold standard in 1971. Yes, Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund, all of these blue organizations representing the blue horse were unleashed by President Richard Nixon in 1971. But they have worked with the communists. You know, if you go to the World Economic Forum website, they'll tell you that you're going to own nothing by the year 2030, and you'll be happy about it. That's communism. And then they've also said the U.S. will no longer be a superpower, but we will be a very diverse nation, and migrants from around the world, mostly Muslim nations, will be forced into the United States. There will be essentially open borders. These are World Economic Forum proposals. Of course, the rich people think that they'll be set apart from this, and they'll be in charge and running things. I'm not sure the communists agree with them. I'm not sure that the Islamists agree with them, but that's kind of everybody thinks that they're going to get these other two to work with them, and then they will take over, and then they'll be in charge. We're going to see a mass battle coming up. These are horses unleashed by what President Nixon did to us in 1971. We will cover and finish the blue horse and explain the yellow horse when we come back right after this break. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm joined by Mike Carter. Mike, my mind was blown when I realized that Nixon leaving the gold standard is what caused the rise of China. They would never have risen without American money, and we invested in them, bought their cheap goods, and they reinvested and funded our growth of government that put us in this debt problem that we're in, which the debt problem, the dollar risk, the immigration, all these, by the way, are our six trials by fire that we're going to have to face. And we'll cover that in next week on Pirate Money Radio. But that third one, the blue horse, that one surprised me. That it was Nixon leaving the gold standard that spawned even that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always about following the money. And this is the first I've seen of someone connecting the dots on what happened them in our lifetime to where we're at today, and we're seeing the repercussions of that.
Yeah, no, that was a seminal moment in 1971. Richard Nixon left the gold standard because we couldn't back our money with gold and spend it like we'd been spending. Lyndon Johnson is president, started the Vietnam War, he started the global war on poverty, he started the Great Society, spending enormous amounts of money, and Nixon walks into the White House and realizes, you know what, this is unsustainable. We can't continue to back our money with gold and do all these things, so he removed the gold backing. It was the debasing of the currency, which always leads to the collapse of societies, and he did that in a fateful decision at a Camp David meeting in early 1971, and here are comments from the World Economic Forum website. It says the Camp David meeting that decided to end gold convertibility led to a new world order. That's where it came from. When you think World Economic Forum, don't you think New World Order?
Yes.
Klaus Schwab with his, and we are about to embark on a new world order. You hear him saying
it's
that.
It's just global peace, though, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, he said, for the first time in the post-war era, America's allies and trading partners agreed to share more of the economic burdens of leadership. Hmm. We had economic leadership. We had sole economic leadership. But we're going to share the economic burdens of leadership. And who did we share it with? The Chinese and the Saudis. That's where it happened, and it all happened. And you know what? Do you see the pattern here? All red, green, and blue were launched when we left the gold standard.
Wow. Wow.
So I need to share. Support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card and a mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app, available on major money mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint, providing access to gold for modern spending. All right, so we left the gold standard in 1971 by order of Nixon. People can go on their own personal gold standard. That's what pirate money is all about. But the World Economic Forum emerged. And more than just spawning the World Economic Forum, you know, it was known as the European Management Forum at the time. And Klaus Schwab saw what Nixon did, and he said, all right, we're going to change this. It's not European. It was a European get-together. It's like a chamber of commerce for Europe. He turned it into the World Economic Forum with the stated intention of helping you by 2030. You'll own nothing. There'll be no borders. America won't be the sole superpower. We'll go into transhumanism and all those things that you saw, the eight goals of the World Economic Forum.
Let's get to the fighting words. I will eat bugs and be happy. No, I'm not doing that.
No
so
more
let's
meat.
Figure out how to stop these horses.
Yeah, meat will be a rare delicacy, but you'll eat bugs. I mean, literally, that's in the World Economic Forum planning. But you know what else Nixon unleashed? He unleashed in 1973, he unleashed the EPA. And here it is from Science History Institute, from the Smithsonian. It says, Richard Nixon and the rise of American environmentalism, how a Republican president ushered in the EPA. And what he did was he gave Klaus Schwab exactly what he needed to create that weapon for the World Economic Forum, this notion of climate change. And in the 70s, they said, it's going to be global cooling. We've got to protect against global cooling. Stop burning fossil fuels because it's going to be global cooling. And then science didn't back them up because it started to warm again. And said, oh, no, it's global warming. All of that was the World Economic Forum. And that's why they put out, that's why they've grown in power. And that's why they put out the Welcome to 2030, I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. I doubt it, but that's on the World Economic Forum website. You'll own nothing, be happy. The U.S. will no longer be the world's leading superpower. Transhumanism with transplant of 3D-printed non-human organs. Eat less meat, eat more bugs. 1 billion people displaced by climate change, so we open all the borders. Carbon taxes will make energy more expensive, and we're going to end fossil fuels. No more oil and gas. And if things get bad here, we'll head to Mars and colonize in search of alien life, and Western civilization will be pushed to the breaking point and broken. That's what the red, green, and blue horses are doing to America.
But remember that Nixon thing, that, you know, the peace symbol. I guess he was for this world peace, right?
I don't know that Nixon realized that he was unleashing these three horses, but he did it because we abandoned
economic
real money.
Yep.
So I hope it's obvious. These are massive threats, red, green, and blue, and things are moving quickly, but we haven't discussed even our six trials by fire. We'll cover that in next week. But there's one more horse we've got to cover first. It's the yellow horse. And I use yellow for cowards, traitors, the apathetic, and the sellouts. And yellow may be the most dangerous. If you follow Trevor Loudon and the enemies within, you realize that the red, green, and blue have bought off our politicians. If you follow Peter Schweitzer with blood money or red-handed, you realize that China and others have infiltrated the Congress and the White House. All four of these horses, by the way, I'm going to cover in my coming book, hopefully out early in 2026, and that is the four horses of the American apocalypse and our six trials by fire.
So the four horses of the American apocalypse sound bad enough to me, and then we got six more trials on top of that?
Well, the four horses are unleashing trials, and that, again, we borrowed from the Bible. In Revelation 6, it talks about the seals of judgment. Now, I don't want to make this seals of judgment, so I made them trials by fire, but I think it's interesting, the trials by fire, and just as a teaser for next week, the trials by fire are money-related, and God talks about having our works tested by fire. Will they come through in a good way and be purified? If they're gold and silver, they will. But if they're wood, hay, and stubble, what happens to wood, hay, and stubble in the
burns.
Fire?
It burns. So you're telling me there might be some good news in this framework you're laying out, because for just a few seconds there, I was thinking, remember when Glenn Beck, when you were warning about economic warfare in China in 2009, 2010, and Glenn says, this Kevin Freeman guy, he's got to get invited to less parties than me. He can't be a lot of fun. Yeah. There is a solution to all
there
this.
There is a solution. And, you know, the most common comment I get when I go speak is, I believe everything you're telling me is true. It's very scary and very dour, and yet you seem optimistic. Mm-hmm. Why are you optimistic? And I said, because the principles of God are true. If we have an awakening in this country, and we've got an interview coming up with Jakub Uyens in a couple of weeks, where we'll be talking about a great awakening, and if we turn to God and God's principles, the first principle we have to do is Luke 16:11, get the money part right. If you're not faithful with your unrighteous mammon, no one will trust you with true riches. If you're faithful in the small things, God will set you over greater things. To get where we need to do, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The rich young ruler, what do? Deal with your money first and then come and follow me. We need to deal with the money part. And the good news is we blew it in 1971, but we have a way back. We call it pirate money. Mm-hmm. And that's what this show is built on. Optional, transactional, gold and silver is money protected from inflation, true economic justice, already passed in how many states, Mike?
Well, we passed it in 5 states.
6?
Yeah, we passed it in 6. We're still working on that governor to understand how it really works. And he's questioning now, well, maybe I shouldn't have vetoed it, that one. And we've got more states looking at this
as well. And which are the 5 states that it got signed into law?
Texas, Florida, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Missouri. So those are all in the process of implementation right now. And, we're going to see probably Florida come June of this year, and then Texas probably sometime this year, and maybe early 2027. Arkansas is looking at rules. They're all coming right up.
We've got maybe 20 new states that have shown interest. Mm-hmm. We were a pro-family legislative network with Dave Barton, and 20 legislators from 20 states or so have come up to us and says, I want to do this in my state. It's begun a momentous movement.
It has. And, you know, I thought it was going to be easy as we go to the next one, but now we're seeing some new adversaries come in that say, well, we don't understand this, we don't like it, or it's misinformation, or this is going to be CBDC. No, this is the solution to CBDC. And it's important, and look forward to continuing to help facilitate this movement across America.
To learn more, listen to this program. To learn more, go to transactionalgold.com. To learn more, read Pirate Money as a book. We really do believe we have a solution that will reverse the curse from 1971. But the real answer is Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit, a movement, an awakening of this nation. And we are working on projects to take to the heart of Washington, D.C., the truth of the gospel. And we're going to take the truth about money, biblical money, gold, silver, copper in some cases. But the Constitution, the intersection is the Constitution allows us to use gold and silver as real money. And the government gave up copper anyway, with the yes. penny being taken away. So we have a solution here. And the key is to pray. Pray and work. Pray for America to return to God's principles, and in doing so, to return to his divine protection. Pray for transactional gold and silver efforts to restore biblical money. And pray against the four horsemen. Hey, let's stop being on defense and let's start going on offense. What if we take the gospel to China? What if we take the gospel to the Muslim community? What if we take the gospel to the globalists? That is our answer. So that is our charge. Listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. Share this with your friends. Check out piratemoneyradio.com. This is Kevin Freeman joined by Mike Carter for Pirate Money Radio.
Arg. 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 All right.